To pray. You know, our nation as a whole, I believe, is really in trouble. I really don't get up here and use this as a political platform. And I believe that, you know, I'm not up here to promote a certain person that you should vote. I believe there are some things that you can see by the fruit of who they are, that as a Christian, you should be intelligent enough to know and discern who to vote and who not to vote for. I am pro-life. I will always be pro-life. I am not ashamed of being pro-life. I will say that from the pulpit. I am so pro-life. I would rather kill a whale and save a baby. And eat the whale. I'm sorry. It's this way. I fish. Now, I when I fish, I mainly catch and release. I'm a catch and release guy, so, you know, for the most part. Now, once in a while, I may take a fish, but for the most part, I'm a catch and release guy. But I like meat. Meat's good. Amen. I like venison. Venison is very good. All right, so some of you agree. But anyway, I am pro-life. And our nation is really, I believe our nation's in trouble. There is a right way and a wrong way to be praying for our nation. There's a right way and a wrong way to be praying. You know, what's going on within the government, judicial activists are no longer interpreting the law, but they're actually legislating from the bench. And so, and then they find these activist judges in court, and it's an ungodly system trying to interrupt and take away what God has given to this nation. And so I just want to talk to you about how to pray. And really, it's amazing. If you're a Christian today, you're the one that's being persecuted. You can be a Buddha, you can be Muslim, you can be anything else. But if you mention Jesus, you get in trouble. And that's all right, because all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? Well, you're going to get name called. You're going to get all these other things. But you know what? Still be bold for your faith. So, prayer is a positive and powerful weapon. But there is a right way and a wrong way to use a weapon. You know, I would not take a child and give him a gun and say, now go out and play with this loaded gun. How many would do that? Would anybody? I wouldn't do that. I would not give a child, a five-year-old, a loaded weapon and say, now go out and play with this weapon. That is insane. I mean, that child could cause great damage. You know, I'm a carrier. I believe in carrying weapons. I have a permit. I believe in my Second Amendment rights. I'm just telling you what I believe this morning. If you don't believe it, that's fine. I love you anyway. You know, but if they break into my house, first people they're going to meet is Mr. Smith and Wesson. Wow. It's so funny. I go up to this dealership, and, you know, I have a friend of mine that's the GM, and we were talking about gun carrying one day, and he was inside the dealership, and we're sitting there. And I said, hey, brother, you carry? Do you pack it? He said, hang on a second. He reached into his top drawer, and he pulled out, and he says, lay down this 40. Oh, he said, hang on a second. He reached down here, and he pulled out a 38. And he said, in Detroit, you need to be packing heat. I said, yeah, I understand, man. So, but anyway, I think it's so you know, interesting. Prayer is so powerful, and yet I think so many times we've been taught wrong how to pray. Because really, most people, listen to me, most people are praying out of an old covenant prayer. They are not praying out of a new covenant prayer. And so we've been taught, you know, a lot of people have been taught 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, you know, and will answer their prayer and will heal their nation. And we've been taught that. We've been taught that way to pray. But there's an effective way to pray. There's a right, wrong, and there's a wrong way to pray. Several years ago, there's a teaching going around and said, you know, if you want to be an effective witness, ask God to give you some disease so that, you know, you can die of that disease, and then those around you will be saved. A teenage boy got a hold of this teaching, and he wasn't being a very effective witness, and this teaching's still out there today because a lot of people believe that God places disease on people. And so he prayed this prayer because he wanted to witness to his mates at school. And so he prayed this prayer, and you know what? He got leukemia. He died, and four people at his funeral were saved. And I recall Andrew Womack talking about this same teaching that was going around, and he had this teaching, and he said, you know, I didn't know truth on healing. I didn't know that God already redeemed us from the curse. I didn't know these things, but it sounded so good, and I wanted to see people saved. I got a hold of this teaching. He gave it to his girlfriend at that time, and she wanted to be an effective witness. She bought into it, and she prayed. She says, God, give me cancer so I can be an effective witness. The very next day, she was taken to the hospital. She had leukemia, and she died. And four people were saved. Wow. True story. Folks, that is a true story. But here's the thing. God does not put sickness on people. God did not answer those prayers by giving those two teenagers leukemia. You can open up the door to the enemy by praying an ineffective way if you don't know the word. Hello? So certainly God received a measure of glory when, you know, those people receive, but God doesn't kill one person. He doesn't kill a child. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We serve a good God. We serve a God of love. Hello? A God of peace. We serve a good God, a God that has provided healing already. We don't serve an angry God. We serve a God who's no longer angry. How cool is that? We serve a God that is full of love. It was Satan taking the advantage of the open door that some people give him to walk in, to grab your lunch, pop the bag, and send you on your way. So he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you all listening to me this morning? It sounds like you are. So, you know, this year, I think, is it May 1st is National Day of Prayer? Is that National Day of Prayer, May 1st? Anybody know? Any of you Christians know? What first Thursday of May is what? National Day of Prayer. So typically, people will gather and they will plead with an angry God to turn his impending judgment and have mercy upon the United States. That's what most people pray. Oh, God, I know you're mad at us. I know you're upset with us. God, you're so angry. All this chaos going on in the land. God, turn your judgment from us. Have mercy on us. That's a wrong way to pray. It is a wrong way to pray. I can testify because I prayed that way before. It's not the right way to pray. It'll open the door and get wrong results. So there's a right way to pray for our nation. First, you got to recognize that God isn't angry at America anymore. He is not mad anymore. We do not serve a God of vengeance anymore. It is not an Old Testament view that we're living under. We are living under a brand new covenant because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is a new covenant full of joy, peace, amen. It is a new covenant that God's grace is sustaining us, it's overflowing, and we receive that abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness he's empowered us with. We're not serving an angry God that's out to get you. Aren't you glad? Amen. Woo, I'm glad. Praise God. But so many people, that's their concept of God. And so many Christians across the nation, that's how they view God. That's God's out to get us. And they take that into their personal walk. And man, you get real messed up that way. God didn't want you messed up. Look over at Luke 2:14 at the Christmas story a little bit. Okay, I want to show you this because this is a very important verse. Luke 2:14, I want to give you some word this morning, all right? Love the word. How about you? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill, what? Towards men. Glory to God in the highest, the angel pronounced at Jesus' birth. Peace and goodwill towards men. Let me tell you, is there peace on earth today? Are men peaceful with one another? There's violence, there's killings, there's rape. There's all types of stuff. There's murder going on. All these things are happening across America and around the world. So that scripture doesn't seem like, wow, it's peace towards, you know, peace with together with men. It's not. It's peace towards men. God offered peace at the cross of Jesus. When Jesus was born and went to the cross and died, he took all of the judgment of God, and all of the wrath of God was poured up on Jesus. And those that receive Christ now have peace. It's peace towards men, peace offered to men, to all those that receive him. Now we have the peace of God operating in our life. I'm not trying to get peace. Peace is already there. I'm not trying to get joy. Joy is already in my spirit. I'm not trying to get love. Love was poured about in my heart by the Holy Spirit when I was born again. Now you have to walk in it by faith, amen, and not in your carnality or in your soul realm. You have to walk in it by faith. A lot of people are still walking in that soul realm. They're a soul brother, amen. I've got some soul, praise God. Every time I go into Detroit, I put on the Temptations. As soon as I get into town, I hit the Temptations, one of my favorite groups. David Ruffett, one of the greatest voices of all times. Pastor, that's carnal. Well, you be carnal, I love the Temptations. You can love the carnal, I'll love the Temptations. Amen. I love it. It's great music. Talking about my girl. Yeah, I try to find my girl, put it on, and I think about my girl. And then I come home with sometimes, and I'll sing to her. I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May. Well, you guess. Well, y'all get it, right? My girl, my girl, my girl, talking about my girl. You guys don't serenade your wife? What's up with that? Y'all need to start serenading your wives. Well, I can't sing. Well, that's all right. The Bible gave you a scripture. It says you can make a joyful noise. Oh, come on now. Amen. But anyway, praise God. So it's so important. Where was I at? I just got lost. I got lost in my girl, man. Amen. Praise God. Whew, I'm embarrassed now. No, I'm not. Amen. I'm good. Amen. So they were proclaiming glory to God in the highest. The angels weren't saying that from then on, peace would reign on earth and wars between people would cease. That was not it. They were proclaiming the end of war between God and man. But most Christians don't get that. They think there's still this war going on. No, there's not a war going on. The war has been settled at the cross. It's done. That's what Jesus said in his last breath. It is finished. He wasn't talking about just his death. He was talking about everything had been fulfilled out of the old covenant, and it's a brand new covenant. Hallelujah. Is anybody glad about that this morning? So, woo! So now his mercy has been extended, listen to me, to every man. Sin is no longer the issue. You can still sin and be stupid, but sin is no longer the issue. Sin will make you do stupid things. You will reap the repercussion of sin. But sin is done. It's a done deal. People are still sinning because they're still stupid. Because they don't believe. The only thing that stops a person from going to hell and going to heaven is belief. Do you believe? From being lost to being saved. There's a difference between being lost and being saved. Being born again. Do you believe? Believe. Jesus has provided it for the whole world. Do you know the whole world's sin is already forgiven? Yeah. All of the world is already forgiven. You know what would help this political climate more than anything else? If everybody was a born again believer in the world. So, here's a good thing. We don't get what we deserve because of Jesus. We don't get what we deserve. His grace, we receive the good things you even don't deserve. Even when you're not good, God's still good. Wow. You know what? That's almost a too good to be news, good news true. Amen. So Jesus has made all that God is and has available to us. All of it is and has available to us. We receive it and appropriate it by faith. Look at Romans 5:2. Romans 5:2. So cool. I love this. I want you to get this today, guys. This is so vitally important. All right? So, what does it say? Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have access how? How do we have access to all this? How do we have access to our peace, to our joy, and everything that God has brought us? By faith into what? This grace. Grace is the provider. Grace is provided, an unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. God provided it for us. Jesus went to the cross. It is provided, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. It's already there, already provided for us. Amen. So the typical Christian is making intercession to an angry God, asking him to turn away his fierce wrath, and that is a wrong way to pray. You say, well, Pastor, that's exactly what people did in the Old Testament. Well, that's true, but you're not in the old anymore. You're in the new. Turn to somebody and say, put on the new. The difference between the old and the new is one person, Jesus. Jesus is the difference. Jesus has forever changed the way we approach God and how we appropriate his favor in our life. Wow, good stuff, Pastor. So I'm going to give you a couple of Old Testament examples of how people prayed. Look at Genesis 18:20. Let's go there. We're going to drop down through this some, Aaron. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, everybody know what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to outcry against what has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the man turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you have also destroyed the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? For far be it from me, you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be at the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Here's Abraham talking to God like that. Really? I mean, like, God, if there's 50 righteous there, are you going to destroy? What was he doing? He was standing in the gap. And I hear Christians all the time say, well, I got to go and stand in the gap. Your standing in the gap is standing in the way. Get out of the gap. And then he goes on. Let's go on down. So he goes on. So the Lord said, if I have 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then go on down, next voice. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I am but dust and ashes, have spoken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were five less than 50 righteous, 45. And he goes on down, and he goes on down, and you can read the story, and here's Abraham, you know, he's just, you know, standing in the gap for this wicked city. You know, Lot is in there, and he's wanting to spare his family, and so he goes on down, and he pleads with God. Let me show you another case, and this is what people do today. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 32, verse 12. Moses here is pleading with God, standing in the gap for the people. You know, Moses had a bunch of religious fanatics and people among him, and, you know, they were just always doing something crazy. So Moses here, why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out of harm them to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? God's about ready to wipe them out. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent, repent from this harm to your what? People. He's about ready to wipe them out. So Moses stands in the gap and intercedes for this people, this nation. God, turn away your wrath. It's amazing that a mere human being had the audacity to speak to God that way. Wow. What's even more amazing is that God allowed Moses to speak to him that way. And what's more amazing is God answered that prayer and turned away his wrath. It's amazing. Somebody told me I sound like, who is it? The announcer, the sports announcer, basketball guy? No, no. Who? Somebody said it. Dick Vitale, that's it. Hey, baby! Maybe I do. Maybe me and Mr. Vitale could hook up. Hey, baby. However, it's not the way as New Covenant believers should pray. We shouldn't pray that way. Well, the dictionary defines a mediator as someone who speaks to resolve differences between two or more conflicting parties, right? Look at Galatians 3:19. It was appropriate for Moses and Abraham to act as a mediator because Jesus had not come yet. Jesus had not been on the scene, and the atonement of man's sins had not been made. Galatians 3:19. What purpose then does this law serve? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. That's who Moses was. He was a mediator. He stood between God and man. That's what he did. So, but now because Jesus has reconciled God, men back to God, all that is left for man is to be reconciled to God, and that should be our message to people. You need to be reconciled to God. So 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20, it tells us we have this ministry of reconciliation, because all that's left is for people now to be reconciled back to God. Amen. So that is that God was in Christ what? What's God doing? Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. Why? Because sin's been taken care of. It's a done deal. And has committed to us the word of what? The word of hope. The word of reconciliation. The word of hope is God's not mad at you anymore. He's madly in love with you. Whoa! How cool is that? That's why most people don't go to church. Because they don't go to church, because people are told all the time, God's mad at them, God's upset with them, God hates you, you're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. You don't have to tell people that. They know it already. They know they're messing up. They need to hear some good news, that God's loved you, that God cares for you, that God died for you, God has a great plan for your life, that God cares about you when you make a mistake, stupid. Even if it's a stupid mistake, God loves you, and God's got a great plan for your life. God's never going to give up on you. Wow. Y'all still here this morning? Yeah. So to approach God as an adversary is ready to destroy us is to approach God without Jesus. To approach God as an adversary who is about ready to destroy us. You get this, Jeff? This is a good tweet. To approach God as an adversary who's about ready to destroy us is to approach God without Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't there, but Jesus is here now. Isn't that good? 1 Timothy 2:5. What does this say? Wow, you need to meditate on this. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is how many? And how many? Between God and who is he? The man Jesus Christ. That is the mediator between God and man. Well, cool, Pastor, but how do we pray then? Are we supposed to pray? You're absolutely supposed to pray. But you're supposed to pray New Testament covenant prayers and not Old Testament begging prayers. Actually, the work's already done. You don't have to beg God for anything. You just believe it and receive it. Hello? Believe it and receive it. You know, some people, they get a, oh, God put me in this condition because he wants me to have a testimony. I dealt with a young lady that was in a wheelchair, and she was so convinced that God put her in that position, in that place, so she could testify to others, that I couldn't minister to her effectively healing, because her mind had already been set through teaching that was erroneous and wrong, that I'm supposed to be in this position because God allowed me to be in this position so that I could get a testimony. So I could not minister any healing to her at all. God doesn't put people in that position. There are natural things that happen in this world. My daughter was driving yesterday. She's sitting at a light. I love you, Elise. So she's sitting at a light. A guy pulled at the light, pulled up in front of her, and she looked back, looked forward, and he stopped. And she hit him, ran into him. It was a natural law. Because if you hit a object that stopped and you're moving, it's a natural law. It's a law of force. There's a law of lift. You get on this building, jump off, you're going to hit the ground unless you have the law of lift. Because there's another law. It's called the law of gravity. God put all these laws out there. Amen? It's amazing. People have been wanting to fly. Now, we've been flying once. When's the Wright brothers? 19 what? Was it 03? 06? Somewhere around there. I should know that, right? Yeah. Of all people, I should know that, right? So, but you know what? The law of lift has always been here. Bird brains discovered the law of lift. Yeah, think about that a second. Birds, right? So, always been there. That's always been there. The law of lift has always been there. But man discovered it, and now man excels past gravity, the law of gravity, because there's a law that exceeds the law of gravity. It's called the law of lift. So, Pastor, how do we pray? What do we do? Colossians 1:9. We are to pray for our leaders. That's all right. She's just praising the Lord. Amen. Y'all can get over that, right? She's just praising the Lord, having a good time. Glad she's in church today. Amen. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. This is the perfect example of a new covenant believer's prayer. This is Paul praying, and it is a great example, a pattern of how we should pray. Really, the Lord's Prayer is an Old Testament pattern of praying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you know his kingdom has already come? Do you know his will has already been done? Jesus fulfilled the will of God. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, what? I supply all your needs according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. Wow. So a lot of things that we get out of the New Testament, even though it's called the New Testament, when you look at a lot of the teachings and what Christ was talking about, he was reflecting it back to the Jews in order to put them under condemnation in the law so that they would receive him. He was trying to say, this is who you are. He called a bunch of snakes, white as sepulchers, right? Full of dead men's bones. Wow. Jesus didn't tolerate religious people too well, did he? I said, Jesus didn't tolerate religious people too well, did he? Right? So look what Paul said here. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with what? Pray that people would be filled with the knowledge of Jesus. That's what we pray. Can you imagine our president being filled with the knowledge of Christ? Our Senate being filled with the knowledge of Christ? Our Congress being filled with the knowledge of Christ? Our governors being filled with the knowledge of Christ? Our local government being filled with the knowledge of Christ? Wow! That's what we pray, that they are filled with the knowledge of Christ, how much he loves them, how great he is, amen, of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God, open their eyes to spiritual understanding. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I pray that they would know you. And not only do we speak that, but we witness it with our lives. We share it out of our lives. The Bible says these signs will follow those that believe. You got to go in order to have a follow. If you don't go, there's no follow. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Amen. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Drop on down. Let's go. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us. We're not being delivered. A lot of people have a demon deliverance ministry. You have been delivered. He has delivered. Satan has the only power Satan has is what you give him. If you want to give him, he'll take it. That's the only power he has over you. When you realize that you have all authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I give it to you. You've been given the authority. He came to buy back the authority that Adam lost. We have authority now. You have authority. You can take down strongholds. You don't have to let him mess with your mind. Amen. God doesn't sit back. He said, look, I've done it. Now you take it. You do it. It's up to you. A lot of people just let the devil play with their mind all the time. Thought comes in and they just dwell on it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man, rebuke that stuff. You got authority? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. He has delivered us from the power, has delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the, and done what? We're in the kingdom now. You're in the kingdom of the Son of his what? Love. Isn't this awesome? Let's go on down a little bit further. In whom we have, through his blood, all done, forgiven, complete. That's why you can walk into the day of boldness, into the throne room. Amen. Because of that. You've got power with God. You've got power to move a nation. Amen. Open up your mouth and speak it. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. How do you pray for a nation? You pray that God would open up their ears and eyes to what Jesus has done. Amen. Already done, already completed, to his knowledge. Praise the Lord. You share your testimony. You give out of your mouth. You let people know who you are in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands this morning. We're gonna pray. Father, thank you today for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, who's completed everything. God, we thank you today that the knowledge of Christ would be so imminent into the powers that be in our country. Lord, we thank you today that it is a finished work, and Lord, you'd open up their eyes. God, Satan has blinded their eyes, but Lord, we pray that their eyes would be open to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And every opportunity we have, we want to share the good news that they are forgiven, that they are whole, that God has a purpose for their life. Today, we pray for this country, Lord, standing in this place, God. And Lord, we thank you today that you're going to open their eyes to that knowledge. And God, that you're turning things for the good. Hallelujah. And we give you praise this morning. God, let us go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ today. The hope of glory. Not the Old Testament concept that God's mad and God's wrath is pending, but the new covenant that Jesus, it is finished, it is done. And Lord, your life is good to us. Hallelujah. We give you the praise and the glory today. Father, we thank you. We bless each one. If someone here this morning doesn't know you, may they believe on you right now. May they receive you into their life. May they know that you are Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Not mad at them, but madly in love with them. Amen. Thank you that you died for us, that you rose again, and we receive you into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, turn to somebody this morning and say, it is finished. You can go home. Have a good day. Hallelujah.